Welcome back to the West Side Discussion Podcast, the first and only podcast dedicated to West Side Discs. My name is Jay. Thank you for listening. This is episode 22. Today I'm joined again by Nicholas Duran. Nick has been on before, and if you missed that episode, make sure to go back and listen to it. Nick just won the Utah State Championships and the Show Little Craze. Nick, thank you so much for coming on. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thank you for having me, Jay.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned, you've been here before, so if anyone's missed that or if they've kind of forgotten, let's just start with a quick recap, about your disc golf journey, how you got to where you are now.
For sure. My PDGA is 28359. I'm 24 years old. I've been playing this game for 20 years. I am a five-time world champion. I have five world records. I have many other wins alongside that, the two most recent being the Utah State Championship and the Show Little Craze, both being A-tier wins.
Is this finishing your second year with Westside?
Yep, this is finishing my second season with Westside.
All right. So let's kind of back up a little bit. Since last time we talked, I know this year's been kind of a little different for you. You kind of had an injury, is that correct?
Yes, I ended up dislocating my kneecap in February. And when I dislocated my kneecap, it ended up hitting part of my femur bone as well and shaving it down just a little bit. So ended up taking me out of the game for about 2 to 3 months solidly just to get rehabilitated and get back into playing. When I came back, I wasn't 100%. I just wanted to get back out to play. So I've been doing a lot of physical therapy, a lot of working out inside of my knee, just getting it strong, ready for the rest of the season. And right before Utah, I was starting to feel 100% again inside of my knee and the trust inside of planting my feet. So it's been a long journey of rehabilitation and getting strong again in my right knee.
What kind of things were you doing as far as like rehabilitation goes?
A lot of it has actually been work with bands, the strengthening bands. A lot of different exercises there. Honestly, I forget names, so I'm terrible with them, but I could definitely post links on Facebook or Instagram if you guys follow me there. Make sure you guys do if you don't. My Instagram link is nickd_2132. But I'll definitely post some of the exercises I've been doing to strengthen my knees for that.
Yeah, so that's kind of most of the year, and it just recently had the last few. So let's talk about Utah State Championships. Is this the first time you've won a state championship?
So yes, that was my very first state's win ever. I've had many runs at different states. I've held the lead in almost every states that I've played in the past 3 years for the first round or two. I've even beat Eagle McMahon and Joe Revere for round one over there in Colorado States before, and I've never been able to lock down the job. So for this one to be the one I got was super great feeling. Awesome for it to be an A tier, and it was really amazing to have Central Coast Disc Golf out there finally getting me on film and displaying my game and who I am a little bit.
Was it the last few rounds where it just snowed?
It was the last 6-7 holes of the entire tournament while we're up on the ski resort, and it randomly just turned on, and it was felt like we were playing out there in a blizzard for the last 4 or 5 holes of it. It was fun. It ended up being a lot of really cool shots on the video and a couple cool edits.
Was that the first time you've played in snow?
Most definitely not. I actually live at about 8,000 feet here in Sholo, Arizona. We get probably the most snow in Arizona. We probably get 4 or 5 feet on average a year. So that's definitely not something I'm not accustomed to already. We go out there, we throw on the snow boots and snow jackets and everything. We still go out there. So it was fun. It was the first snow year of the first snow round of the year.
How did you prepare knowing just the different types of weather that was going to be?
That morning, we woke up, we saw the weather report, saw that it had already snowed, and they were shoveling tee pads off at 8 a.m. up there on top of this ski resort. So I ended up going over to the local warmer over there in Salt Lake City and ended up, I think I bought like 10, 11 towels. I bought a jacket, I bought the full bean, like hand warmers, beanies, everything that you could think of just for the winter play and preparation just to survive the day and not be cold. So a lot of that was taken into account. I ended up taking a few discs out of the bag that I knew I wasn't going to be playing with and throwing, and just to make room for the towels, extra socks, extra shirt, just everything to reset if I ever get too wet out there and need the extra warmth.
What does your typical tournament prep look like?
Normal tournament prep, I'm practicing about 30, 45 minutes a single day on just putting alone. I get out, I go out to the fields probably two, three times a week and just spend time dialing in my simple touch game to 200-foot shots, then getting out to the big fields and throwing my full distance shots and learning what my discs do. So there's a lot of that preparation going into it. Before rounds, for some reason this has been helping me this year. I haven't been throwing a single disc before my rounds, and it sounds weird because we've all gotten so used to just going out and practicing that I found myself starting to get into a negative headspace before my rounds when I was practicing. So I took the time to start zenning out and learning some meditation and breathing techniques to calm down before my round, because I realized a lot of my practice was anxiety-filled practice.
What do you mean?
So even when before my rounds, 20 minutes before my round, if I start missing putts, if I'm hitting right side chains and sliding out, I start letting that affect my round before I even get to my very first hole. And I've taken the time to step back from the practice putting, the throwing in the field before my rounds, because I feel like my work has been done before I've got there already, and I should trust what I got instead of trying to fix right there on spot.
So when you say you don't throw any discs, I'm thinking you don't go out, and do some warm up. You don't even do putting.
Nope, I do not throw a single putt until hole one, and it sounds wild, but for some reason it's helped me trust my work in the game a lot more.
Oh, is this how many tournaments have you been doing this?
This is about my third, fourth tournament, and for some reason it's felt a lot more comfortable where I'm not stressing especially with my knee. It hasn't been stressing my knee out to at the end of a tournament where I'm just like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to walk 100% on Monday. So I try to limit myself on what I do throw. Even we had a distance showcase a couple weeks ago at Arizona State, and I sat on the sidelines for that one for the first time in years. So just trying to limit the work on my knee at the moment as well. So it's a bit of relaxation on the knee and the mental aspect of relaxing before my rounds, because I get a lot of second thoughts inside. So I try to calm those down and relax them and focus on what task I do have at hand.
So is this something you think you'll probably continue even once your knee is, back to maybe 100%?
I think it's something that I'm gonna keep trying. I don't know if it's something that I'll continuously keep as a career, just because it's still fresh. It felt really good out in Utah to trust the work that I've put into my game before I got there. And
Right.
to get the hole one, it just, for some reason, my confidence level was higher than it's ever been, just trusting.
So you mentioned like doing, some meditation and breathing and stuff before the round. Do you incorporate any of that during your round?
Definitely. One of the biggest things that I've found, and I forgot who told me this, it was a couple years back. They ended up taking a picture or two during the round of just something that they saw, very beautiful, very cool scenery, a cool stump or rock or something cool. And I've taken the time to step away and find that picture moment. And it's really helped me calm down, find the reality that I'm still there just playing a game, and I'm there to enjoy the time and the properties that I've gone to see and sceneries. So I feel like that's one thing that's definitely helped me.
Yeah, you had shared that online a while back. I'd seen that, and in the last tournament I played, I actually put that into practice. And you're right, it does kind of like take you out for a moment, kind of like centers yourself, and kind of like there is some calming to that. So I can second that. So if anyone wants to do that in the next tournament, I'd give that a shot.
And at the end of the year, if you take those two pictures and make a cool album, well, you just saw where you traveled and all those cool things that you got to see. So, that's a memories I get to pass on to my son.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, speaking of your son, how old's your son?
I have a 4-year-old son turning 5 in February.
how do you balance being a dad and disc golf?
It's really, really hard. I'm very grateful for my parents. They've helped me out, give me the freedom to go experience things that I want as a young man and go travel and still try to make this my job while being a dad. A lot of it has been up to them and helping me, and they've never said no to their grandson and me wanting to live my dream still. So they've been a big, huge impact on it, on my life and my son's life, and without them, this dream wouldn't be dreaming still.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. So going back to kind of the tournament, like the tournament prep. So, you're saying kind of some meditation, some breathing, and then what else goes into that before the tournament starts?
I try to talk to my family as much as I can. I call my mom when I'm out of town every morning. I call my mom or my dad just to have that peaceful chat in the morning. And one thing that's really helped me is when I was young, my dad told me no matter what, it could be the winning putt for a world championship and I can miss it. I'll always have the same love at home no matter what. So stuff like that has always been really mind strong, mind heavy on me. And it's always helped just knowing that no matter what, I could place dead last, I could walk off the course, that I'm gonna go home and have the same love.
So Utah State, that was your first state championship. How was the nerves and pressure coming up the la that last round, that last half of the round, especially as the snow's coming down?
For some reason, I like I said, when I got to hole one, my confidence level was extreme. I've never felt just like this was the moment that I can finally showcase myself and showcase Westside and what I can do for Westside too. And not for Westside, but with Westside.
Right.
But for some reason I knew that my game was feeling really good. My knee was feeling really, really good. And I knew that if I played my game the way I wanted to and went to go have fun, I was gonna win. So the nerves really never kicked up until I want to say it was hole 17 when Brock Shepherd made like a 60 footer to bring it within two with two to go. But even then, in that moment, I knew that I had it in me to still finish out and close out and get the W. So it was more excitement for my friend to see him make that putt.
So coming from that win, going to Sholo, was there any pressure for that, or did you feel like, I already won a state championship, this is just gonna be my last tournament of the year, it is what it is, or what was that tournament like?
So this one being a local tournament, I definitely, for some reason, I add more pressure to myself at home. I feel more confident when I step out of town, when I step out of state. It's just something about staying on your own home course and having the pressure of, hey, I know I can go do this all day. I know I can go, I've done it 100 times. I play this course Wednesday for the leagues. It's an added weird pressure. It was different, but I had a lot of momentum going into it with Utah State win. So there's a lot of the confidence still lingering that, just has been there since hole one of states. So there was not as much pressure, but more just excitement to get out and go play. The first round, I was able to open up with a 15 down on 25 holes, which was very, very successful round. I felt good. I was making my putts. I was hitting my lines. I was having a good day. I had a really good card. And then the second round hit, and I w ended up playing with Christopher Robbins from Discraft. He's also 24 years old, so we're really close friends. Flagstaff fellow there. He ended up pushing me the entire round from hole one all the way to hole 25 of the day, and he ended up shooting a 17 under par, which was an incredible round to watch. He was making all of his putts, hitting the drives, but he pushed me just as hard to do the same, and I was able to follow his round with an 18 down on my own.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so that was the first round I've felt extremely pushed and extremely just challenged, and we were having throw-ins at the time just to keep each other going.
So 25 holes, three rounds. How'd you keep your stamina, just like the physical, going for that?
Definitely a lot of work. Like I said, I've been working out on my knees a lot more, and that comes with, the body as well. It's not just my legs and my knees getting stronger. It's me as a person. I've been playing a lot more than I have been just because of my knee. So I finally been able to get 4 or 5 rounds in a week and gain the extra practice on top. So a lot of it was just the pre-work that I've already done, knowing I can go out there and trust my knee for 70 holes, 71 holes for the weekend and not think about it and just play my game.
Yeah. And you did mention online, this is going to be your last tournament of the season.
It's I want to say it's like 95% sure the last tournament of my season. I have one tournament, the Big Arm Challenge that I am kind of looking at. I'm not 100% because Phoenix is not my favorite place to play disc golf, but
Why is
it's
that?
more, they said it on Central Coast and they made it sound like I was a Phoenix boy, and it was kind of funny because I play in very tight wooded courses out here, and I love hitting lines instead of throwing big hyzers.
Right. Okay. So then what's your off season going to look like?
Off season right now, it sucks. I'm locking down another 9 to 5. Gonna be just raising funds as much as I can. Probably gonna be coming out with a couple custom runs, discs be available for purchase. And yeah, just trying to save every dollar that I can so I can go get a couple of those Disc Golf Pro Tour stops.
Which stops are you looking at right now?
As of right now, I'm looking at Waco, Texas State, Beaver State, Des Moines Challenge, and DDO. And then on top of that, I will be attending Worlds. And then if I do not earn my spot in those tournaments for USDGC, I'll be there for the qualifier.
Okay. So speaking of the tour then, what players on the tour do you kind of look up to?
Ooh, I love that question. Nico LeCastro has been one of my favorite players since, the 5-year-old kid, 4-year-old kid inside of me has been watching disc golf. Back in the day, he was number one for many years. He was one of the best putters to ever putt. And I truly just loved the passion that he played with. Of course, there's the fiery side that we all seen, but
Right.
I think that's we don't have that in our sport, and he is that in our sport, and a lot of other sports have that person. And to wear your heart like that with pride and confidence takes a lot, and I respect him for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I know there's, people love or hate Nico. I'm a fan of Nico, and I think for exactly what you said, just his passion. And I know some people it comes across, rubs people the wrong way, and I definitely get that. But I think you're right. If you're passionate about it, and this is his livelihood and stuff, yeah, things aren't going wrong. You're gonna have some. There's gonna be some feelings there, for
It's
sure.
just we've had that person in tennis, we've had that person in bowling, baseball, every sport that we've ever had, but you gotta have that guy in disc golf too, and he's that guy. I love it. I love
Yeah,
it for
every sport has it. There's the bad boy of this and bad boy of that, and they're celebrated and looked up to for that. But yeah, it's kind of funny how the bad boy
him.
disc golf is a bad thing.
And Nico outside of the disc golf course, as soon as you get him off hole 18, he's the sweetest dude in the world. He's such a cool guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Just thinking of some of the top players, what are some of the qualities you think that the best disc golf players have that set them apart?
Mental game, that's definitely the biggest thing. I think of Paul McBeth at Texas when he hit Trey on like a 40-footer and rolled to like 70 feet. And cleared that putt up with no issue without really thinking about it like it was his job. I think that right there is the biggest thing for players, and that's the biggest thing that I've been working on. I mean, of course, the physical is always going to be incredibly, incredibly needed, but if you can't clean up your mental, how are you going to clean up the rest of the course?
That's true. Do you have any other things outside of disc golf? Any hobbies? Or is that pretty much just it?
Most definitely. I love going to concerts. I love going and seeing live music, local artists, even anything that I can just go see and enjoy something live. I definitely enjoy nightlife and going out and hanging out and seeing what people's talents are out there in life.
Yeah, there's nothing like live music. That's awesome.
Yes, most definitely. I was supposed to see Avenged Sevenfold when I was out in Utah, but I figured I best not go headbang myself before Sunday's round.
No, yeah, that was a wise decision, and it paid off.
It did, most definitely.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming on. It's kind of filling us in with what's been up to, what you've been up to.
Of course, thank you for having me.
And is there anything else before we go? Anything else you want to say or plug?
Most definitely. Thank you everyone who has supported me in the 2023 season. It's been a very rough season, but ended up being a very, very fun ending to a season and a strong ending, and giving me a lot of hope and light for 2024. Westside, thank you so very much for supporting me the way that you guys have, and you guys have kept me on my dream and not let me get off path. Zone Sporting Goods, thank you for keeping me looking classy and flashy the entire time while on tour or playing. Kick Ash Minis, if you guys haven't checked it out on Instagram, check them out, making really cool minis. We Die You Fly for keeping my bag looking sharp and beautiful and colorful as always. So, and thank you to my mom, dad, son, family, and all of my Arizona family. So, that's about it.
Thank you so much for listening. This is the West Side Discussion Podcast. Thanks again to Nick for coming back on. The theme song is What Would You Be Like by Kira the Don. We'll continue the discussion next time.